37. Psalms chapter 37. The title of my message this morning is Try God. Try God. We'll be looking at the first 8 verses of Psalm chapter 34 this morning. You know, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of problems going on in the world today. And everybody's trying everything to fix it in the way they think. We need God's wisdom to deal with the crises that we're here. We need God's love to deal with the unrest that's here. And I just, my prayer for our church, for our families, for our city, for our country, for the world is try God. Give God a chance. Let Him show us the way that we could solve these problems, because He can. So in our passage this morning, as we look, David starts out and he says, I will bless the Lord. And here we go. There's that three-letter word. At all times. You know, when we get fearful, we kind of could get depressed. We could get down on ourselves. Said there's no hope. But I can tell you this from personal experience. If things aren't going good and you start thinking of positive things, it'll help. And David has figured out here, he says, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. The good times and the bad times. We're told to pray without ceasing. We're told to rejoice evermore. We're told to do all this stuff all the time. You know why? Because God gave His all for us. We ought to give our all for Him. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually, that means always, be in my mouth. You know, it's okay to complain about the problems if you're complaining about the problems to God and you're in a prayer. Because He's got an answer. But if we're just complaining about our problems and basically saying there's no hope and there's no help, then we're missing the boat here. We need to try God. In the second verse, it says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Well, if your soul is going to make a boast in the Lord, then your soul needs to have experienced the deliverance of the Lord sometime in the past. Have you experienced the deliverance of sin and salvation? Have you experienced God getting you through some trouble in the past? We ought to boast for those things. Boy, when our kids do something in school that's great, we boast of them, right? Why don't we boast when our God is great? Why don't we boast when something happens in our lives that God takes us through? He says, I, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. There's a lot of people out there looking for good news. There's a lot of people out there looking for hope. There's a lot of people out there saying, I don't want to be fearful anymore. I'm tired of this. We need to boast of what God can do. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. We need a change of attitude. We need a change of outlook. Verse 3. And this is what I want us all to do today. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. It's an invitation. And every time that we come into God's house, every time we open His Word, every time we think on Him, we ought to magnify the Lord. He's alone deserving of worthy. And then let's all read that. And let us exalt His name together. See, that's an invitation. We need to do that. Because if you're praising God, someone around you will too. And then someone else will praise too. And then we will have the praise that God deserves. So, this psalm is an acrostic. There's 22 verses. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And each one starts there. So we can remember those things. I've been trying to encourage people. Remember what God has done for us in the past. Remember our salvation. Remember His promises. Remember these things. In verse 4. He said, I sought the Lord. And He heard me. And delivered me from... There is that word. Everybody read it. All my fears. What does that mean? He can deliver you from all your fears. Verse 5. They looked unto Him and were enlightened. It's a dark place out there. The world's a dark place. But we have the light of God and the light of His Word to lead us into... You know, we go out in the woods in the dark and you're glad that you have a flashlight. If you don't have a flashlight, that gives some more problems here. We have the light of God's Word, the light of His countenance, the light of the Spirit. It says, they looked at Him and were lightened, and their faces were what? Not ashamed. Verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. So we see here two times, once in verse 4 and once in verse 6, a cry out, and what does the Lord do? He hears them. And saved him out of, everybody say it, all his troubles. All his troubles. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. See, David is giving us a challenge. His challenge here is in verse 3. He says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. He's got another challenge in verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. See, he found God faithful. See, the Bible says that God is forever faithful. In Psalm chapter 89, verse 8, it says, O Lord of God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee? And the answer is no one. No one. Because he's God and God alone. Or to thy faithfulness round about thee. Who's more faithful? No. No one. Because he's God. And so David had found God faithful. Even when David was trying to solve some of his problems on his own, we'll get more to that here in a moment. His heart was full of praise. We've been studying in the book of Proverbs that the heart is the central issue here, that we need to keep our heart with all diligence, okay? But in Psalm chapter 22, verse 22, the Bible says this. It says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. You know, the place that you ought to hear about what God's doing is in the church. And we need to testify of all the good things. And I like Fifth Sunday Sings because people get up and they will say what God's done in their life. But you know something? There'd be nothing wrong just doing a normal service. Just raise your hand, I'll let you do it. If God's delivered you. He says, I will declare thy name unto thy brethren in the midst. That's where we are right now. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. So what we have here in this psalm, we have a challenge from David. He challenges, he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. And, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And then he goes on and says, his heart is full of praise because of what God's done for him in the past. See, David's challenge challenges everyone to find God. And you know something? We should too. We should too. We're supposed to be the light of the world. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. We're supposed to show the hope that's in it and give every man an answer and all those things. How can they hear except they have a what? A preacher. We're supposed to do that. I want to challenge you this morning to find God, to try God. Those here, those on the internet, try God. He works. See, that's a central theme in the Bible. God's all the time. He has an outstretched arm to his people. And he sends his prophets in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. Israel's in a backsliding mode. The world's in a backsliding mode today. I think the church is in a backsliding mode. But it says here, seek ye the Lord, what? While he may be found. You know, if you keep ignoring God enough and keep rejecting Him enough, there'll come a point that you won't even think about it anymore. Go read Romans chapter 1. And it says, call ye upon Him while He is near. He's in the house today.
Amen.
He is God. He is sovereign. He's omnipresent. He knows what you're going through today.
Right.
He's here. Call on Him. Try God. Yeah. Try God. David encourages us believers to not fear. There is fear in our house. We talked about it last night, my wife and I, about what's going on in the world today. And it's tough. It's tough. And we're all going through some struggles, and we're all encountering these things. There's nothing wrong with fear. It's how you react to it is the problem. If the fear paralyzes you and you start running away from God, that's wrong. If the fear draws you closer to God, that's a trial. God makes us a way for every temptation or every test. He gives it a way to escape that we can endure it. So David's encouraging believers not to fear. In Psalm chapter 46, verse 2, you know, we're talking, you know, these are things that we're in here economically and physically and health-wise. They're pretty big deals. But look at what David writes here. He says, therefore, will not we fear. And then look at the two situations here. Though the earth be removed, I don't think we're there yet. But David says, hey, don't fear. Or, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, we're not there. And David writes in Psalm 46, he says, even when those type of catastrophic things happen, he says, don't fear, because God's still in control. God's still in control. So David encourages believers not to fear. So the question is, why did David issue this challenge? And I'm going to give you four things this morning about why did David do this. The first one is that the Lord had delivered him from his fears. In verse 4, we'll look at it again. It says, I sought the Lord, and He heard me. See, if you're truly seeking God, He'll hear you. If you're truly trying to follow His will, He'll hear you. If you're trying to get Him to approve what you're doing and what you're doing is wrong, you're regarding iniquity in heart, He will not hear you. But His ears always there, always ready to listen. You know, our kids want us to always listen to us. Shouldn't we listen to our Heavenly Father? Shouldn't we cry out to Him? It says, I sought the Lord and He heard me and when once again delivered me from all my fears. When David wrote this, he had been in a really dark place. And he come out of this dark place and said, God's fixed this. And now he's telling everybody else in the midst of the congregation, he says, magnify the Lord with me. Understand that what He did for me, He can do for you. And we're supposed to do that. That's in 2 Thessalonians. It said we're supposed to comfort one another with the same comfort that God gives us comfort with. So, when afraid, David prayed. And is that our way we operate? Or when we're afraid, do we sit there and we stew on something and we just kind of make it possibly bigger than what it is? And then get all discouraged about it. And then, no one loves me, I'm going to go eat worms. See, when David was in this dark spot, he prayed. We need to understand that God's listening to our prayer. And David is saying here, he says, look, his answered prayer made David a praising person. He says, I sought the Lord, He heard me, and He what? Delivered me from all my fear. He changed my whole outlook. I had a different attitude after prayer. You know, we're supposed to seek. ye first the kingdom of God. We're supposed to set our affection on things above. We're supposed to do all this. We're supposed to put God first. And if we put something good in front of us, we get a good outcome. But answer prayer made David a praising person. Psalm 78, verse 7, it says, that they might set their what? Hope in God. See, if you never pray to God, you're not going to get deliverance, and then you won't pray to God. But if you pray to God and you get deliverance, then it should encourage you to pray to God first, and even more. Even for the smaller things. Even for the smaller things. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the what? The works of God. Not our works here. What about what God has done? A couple of psalms, in this psalm, talks about all the things God did for them. Now, all the things God's done for us, He saved us. He's delivered us.
Amen.
Has He done that for you? We ought to praise Him for that. You ought to think on that. You know, the same God of the past is the same God of the present, and He's the same God in the future. Because He's God. There's none other like Him. So answer prayer made David a praising person. We see this in Psalm 78, verse 7. And David remembered the answer prayer. Now let's go back to our children's corner this morning. So David's this little shepherd boy that goes out there, tends his sheep, and takes on all the enemies. And he realizes how that happened. He didn't run from them, he ran toward them. And so David remembers these prayers there, okay? But then there's another issue, okay? But in 2 Samuel chapter 17, verses 34 through 36, now Goliath's out there, and all the army of Israel shaking in their boots because Goliath comes out and challenges the whole army to send a champion out that they fight, and no one would do it. But see, when God delivers us in the past from a large thing, we have the confidence that God will enable us to endure a bigger thing. That's called faith. Our faith is supposed to grow. That's why He told His disciples, He said, if you have the faith grain of mustard seed, you can do this. And so Saul said, David says, I'll take him on. He's no worse than a bear. He's no worse than a lion. I'll take him on. And David, and Saul goes, what? What? You know, there's a lot of times that kids speak and we say, and we just kind of blow them off. But in this case, David's right. And Saul needed a little bit of instruction from someone younger than him. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. So, I don't know what's going to happen here in the future, but I know what happened in the past. It says, I'm Jesse's son, I kept my dad's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And instead of running away, and instead of saying, call 911, or instead of saying, go get Crittery Victor, okay? And I went out after him. That's the opposite of what most people would do. Especially if all you had is a club or a sling. And he said, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, you know, you whack something on the head like a lion, he's probably going to get mad. And so he arose up against me. I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Kind of matter of fact. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. He said, if God deliver me here, if I could do this, I can do that. Seeing that he's defied the armies of the living God. Because what is all of our fightings for? What is all of our trials for? For God to get the what? The glory. And so, David remembered answer prayer. We've been going through the last couple of months about remembering what God has done for us. He's done great things. So the first question this morning, are you an example like David? In Mark chapter 4, verse 40, the disciples are in a ship. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. A storm comes up. They think they're all going to be the Poseidon Adventure and go upside down and die. And said, we perish. Christ says in verse 39, peace be still, and everything got calm. And everybody did what? And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it you have no, not little faith, no faith? See, when God says you're going to do something, you're going to do something. Now let's go on to David's life. After David slews Goliath, Saul disobeys God. David's going to be the next king. He's anointed king. God's going to make him king. And this kind of gets into where the psalm is, but more on that later. More on that later. See, God won't work where there is no faith. You got want God to work in your life? You need to have faith. In Psalm 27, verse 1, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Here in verse 5, it says, they looked unto him and were lightened. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Same psalmist, same dude, same writer. Whom shall I fear? Same one has said, though the earth be removed, I'm not going to fear. Though the mountains be cast to sea, I'm not going to fear. Same writer. Same writer. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? But see, we all go through ups and downs. The question is, are we like David after he got straightened out here in Psalm 34 and starts praising God? Are we like that? I'm sure, if you're a Christian, I'm sure God has delivered you from something at some time. Amen. Have you told somebody about it? Amen. Have you encouraged somebody about it? That's what it's all about. So, are we an example like David? The second reason is found here in verse 6. The Lord delivered him out of all his trouble. It says, this poor man cried. Now, in David's physical, economic state right here, he's really poor. After this, he's hiding in a cave, okay? But the point here is, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his trouble. See, sometimes all we can do is cry out. Last week, we talked about a great father who was Jairus. And Jairus came to Jesus because he heard that Jesus had healed people. And he only had one daughter, and she was sick and lying and laying a dying. And so Jairus gives up thinking about his position as the ruler of the synagogue and as a leader of people, and he goes and he casts himself down at Jesus' feet because he saw Jesus as the only hope. And he says, come to my house and help me and heal my daughter. See, Jesus is looking for someone to say, come and help me. I can't do this on my own. And he humbled himself and he did that. And so, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him. Sometimes all we can do is cry out. You know, the issue was with Jairus is as he goes along, there's a woman in the crowd that touches Jesus' garments made whole because she had spent 12 years trying to get healed and couldn't get any help from anybody in the world. And then she realizes that Jesus could heal her. And she cries out and touches him. On the way, Jairus finds out his daughter is dead. But it didn't stop him, because what did Jesus say? Fear not, believe only, and she shall be what? Be made whole. Look, sometimes along the path that we go through here, we get into situations that we can't see the other side. We can't see how God works, but that's the point. That's where faith comes in. So man's extremity, man's extreme cases, some of the things that we fall into, these big problems that we have, often becomes God's opportunities. And it becomes opportunities for us to have faith. The third thing is that David found that his Lord was up to the occasion and gave him what? Complete deliverance. This verse says here, this poor man cried, and the Lord what? Heard him. Have you cried out to God? Have you cried out to God? Heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Troubles. See, trials are to get us closer to God. Fears are supposed to get... Boy, when you were fearful as a kid at night, but a thunderstorm came out, what did you do? You ran for your mom and dad's bed. Kids don't do it anymore, or cats do. Okay? But the issue is we run. Why? Because there's protection with the Father. Folks, when we have some big problem here, we need to run to Daddy. We need to run to God. He's bigger than the problems. So David had found his Lord was up to the occasion and gave him complete deliverance. The Lord had saved him out of all of his trouble. Take away all of his fears, saved him out of all of his troubles. And thirdly, the Lord had delivered him from danger. It says that the angel of the Lord encamped round about them that what? Fear him. Not be scared of God, but to respect him for who he is. And what? Delivered them. There's a story in the Old Testament about a prophet by the name of Elisha. And at this time, Israel, the Assyrians were trying to take over Israel. And so the Assyrian king had battle plans made. And so he's going to, you know, go out and meet Israel here, but they're ready for him, or they're not there. And he says, he looks at his closest confidants and he says, who in here is a spy telling Israel what's going on? And he said, nope, it's none other than Elisha. He knows everything you're going to do. And so the king sends the entire Assyrian army after Elijah, after one man. And so Elijah and his servants out in the valley, and all of a sudden the Assyrian army comes and they're surrounded. And Elijah says, and the servant says, what are we going to do? The servant's scared out of his gourd. You know, it'd be target practice. And he says this, he says, Lord, open his eyes and show him that there's more with you than with them. And he opens up his Gehazi's eyes and basically sees the army of the Lord here. Look at verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth what? Round about them. The same guidance that he gave the nation of Israel in the wilderness. The same provision that he gave when he opened, you know, a rock and made water come out, or rained down manna from heaven. All those things. See, David discovered that he was not alone. And you're not alone. No matter what fear you're in, no matter what trouble you're in, you're not alone. God's willing to help if you try God. Even in times of peril. And then when David realized that he couldn't deliver himself. Now here's the rest of the story. So once Saul disobeyed God in the incident of the Amalekites, David is anointed to be the next king. Saul knows that. He wants Jonathan, his son, or his protege, to take over the kingdom. And so now Saul makes it a point to try to kill David. Okay? God's delivered him several times out of the king's throne room out of the... by making him dodge javelins. And I tell you what, I'm probably not quick enough to get out of the way of a spear. And so David is on the run. And if you look in the first part of this psalm, it says a little thing. It says a psalm of David. So we know who wrote it. Okay? And it changed his characteristics before Abimelech. That's Psalm, that's 1 Samuel chapter 21. So here's what happens. Sometimes our fears and sometimes our troubles will drive us to find solutions that are probably really not acceptable at all. So in the point of running away from Saul, he goes by the high priest Abimelech, and then he goes to Gath. And he goes to the king of Gath, and he feigns himself to be the madman. And he falls down, he's scrabbling at the door, he's crying at this, and he's spitting on his beard and everything else because he thinks that Saul won't attack the Philistines. And so if I'm in the enemy's camp, and Saul won't go to the enemy's camp, I'm safe. So that was David's idea of how to get delivered. And he goes and he acts the madman to the king of Gath. The king said, "What? I have no room for madmen. Get out of here." So now we know where he is in this. And isn't that like us? Isn't that like us? We play the madman trying to do everything we can and then come to conclusion. Well, I could have had God take care of this. Try God. And so David realizes he's not alone in times of peril because Saul's seeking his life, and then he figured out that acting like a madman can't fix it, so he does this. See, deliverance is the promise of the Bible. It's one of the central themes, and all, salvation is the theme. But deliverance is a result, and it's a main point in the Bible. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 to 34. Just kind of look at this real quick. So the writer of Hebrews is talking about all these people that were in some tight predicaments, but their faith got them out. They were looking for deliverance from God. And it says, "What shall I more say?" So now he's talked about Abraham, he's talked about Noah, and he's talked about Isaac, he's talked about Jacob, he's talked about the patriarchs, and now he gets into the conclusion here, Sarah. And what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah. You know, some of those dudes did wrong, and then figured out that God could deliver. They all figured out that God could deliver. And of David also, we've just been studying him, and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms. These are individuals. With God, you're a majority. And you're bigger than any army that could come out against you. Go ask Elijah. I like to talk to him about that when I get to heaven. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Sounds like Daniel. Quenched the violence of fire, three Hebrew children. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance from man, but counting on deliverance from God, that they might obtain a better resurrection. See, deliverance. David is asking for deliverance here because he's at the end of his rope and he can't figure out anything else. And he says, "I sought the Lord and he heard me." Okay? "And delivered me out of all my troubles. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles, all of his fears and all of his troubles." So the Lord had delivered him in times of danger. And so now David says, look, he says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will be continually in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. See, when you try God, you should have a change in attitude and direction and perspective and outlook. So lastly, the Lord had motivated him to give an invitation. In verse 8 it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." See, Charles Spurgeon says that faith is the taste of the soul. See, you won't taste God's deliverance. You won't see how God works unless you have faith. And it goes down to your soul. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Oh, my prayer this morning, if you've got some fears, come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Seek Him. He'll hear you. If you've got some predicament in your life, some trouble, get deliverance out of it. Poor man cried out. Because sometimes crying out to God is the only thing he could do, but it's the last consideration we have in our life. So this morning, try God today. If you don't know Him as your Savior, you need Him today. Don't leave here without knowing that you have heaven assured. And if you have some fears, bring them to the altar and lay them at the foot of the cross. If you have troubles, do the same thing. If you need faith, have God increase it. But it won't never happen unless you come to Him. Try Him today. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask You this time of invitation. Father, let Your will and way be done. We give You this time. We ask that there's anyone here that does not know You, that they will get saved. And folks, for us that might be fearful, Lord, due to the current world situation or some task ahead of them or some problem that they foresee on the horizon, Father, bring Your peace. Bring Your deliverance. Help us, Lord, to follow You. We give You this time. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.